from KQED.
You're listening to Forum. I'm Mina Kim. The mission of the Bayview Opera House is to be a hub of art and culture in San Francisco's Bayview Hunters Point community by providing accessible, diverse, and high-quality arts education and cultural programs and community events in a safe environment. It's a mission made easier to pursue thanks to a nearly $6 million renovation project that took nearly 3 years. And this weekend, it reopens with performances by Push Dance Company and Hip Hop for Change, among others. And joining me to talk about the Bayview Opera House's new lease on life and what it took to get here are Mary Booker. She's a playwright and teacher. She's been performing and teaching at the Opera House since the 1950s. Good morning to you, Mary Booker.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm well. Thanks so much for being here this morning. We're also joined by Barbara Ockel. She's executive director of the Bayview Opera House, who oversaw a lot of this renovation. It must be pretty exciting to be at this point.
It's super exciting, and thanks for having us on the show.
So the most visible changes are to the outside of the Opera House, correct?
Correct.
And so tell us what folks will see when they go there.
Well, the first thing people will see, that a barren concrete landscape that was old and dirty has been transformed into a beautiful garden landscape that is fully accessible by anyone in the community, including people with disabilities, which was a main driving force behind this renovation project.
So it's much more open then in that way?
It is no longer hidden by a brick wall. It is open, you know, for the community to look into. It has pathways that are easy to traverse. Before, there were due to many grade changes, there were stairs everywhere, and really, there was not an easy way to get around.
And it's pretty incredible that this building, landmark building, was built in 1888, and it held up through earthquakes and so on because of its foundation.
It is built upon a rock, quite literally. And if anybody wants to ever come for a tour, we're happy to share that tremendous boulder that the building sits on.
And Mary Booker, you have been performing at this opera house since the 1950s. And I was wondering if you wouldn't mind just telling us a little bit about some early memories of your performances there.
It was really a great experience for me. The two that I can think of right away is Overtones and The Miser. Those are the two plays that I can remember that we did in the 1950s. We did original plays that I was not aware of. And, of course, after that, I presented some of my own plays there during the late 1950s. And it was a great experience for me because I had no idea that I would go on the stage, and I only came because they had actors workshop. So I figured, okay, if I go over there and I'm a writer, and I was just beginning to write, and I said, well, I can get people to do my play. So, but I did enjoy the experience of going on the stage, and I love that. I love that stage at the Opera House. I have not been on a stage since then that I love more than the one at the Opera House. I love it because it's a slanting stage, like the old Greek stage, the whole idea, and it's so easy then to teach new people that's coming into theater, upstage and downstages. But I just love it.
And that stage has stayed in place. Walter Hood is actually joining us now, I'm being told. He's the professor of landscape architecture at UC Berkeley and the creative director of Hood Design, and was a lead architect for the Opera House renovation. Much of the changes were to the outside, less to the inside. Correct, Walter Hood? Hi, Walter Hood, are you there?
Yes, can you hear me?
I can now, yes.
Yes, sorry, but I was just saying that Barbara, I think, gave a pretty broad explanation on how the exterior transformed. I think building on the conversation, though, we did refurbish the stage outside. So hopefully there'll be more performances and there will be a new experience on a stage that's exterior.
And those outdoor performances will be free, Barbara Ockel?
Not necessarily every time, but we will have a lot of free outdoor performances.
You know, Walter Hood, I was intrigued by the way you got feedback for the redesign. Can you talk a little bit about your process?
Yes. I mean, there was the first was an open community meeting. I think we had a series of those. And I would call the most transformative was a more open forum where residents got up and pretty much expressed themselves. And, you know, there were a broad range of expressions, but most of it was that, you know, the Opera House belonged to the community and they wanted to be able to use it in its fullest. And after that, we then decided to have a day of listening where we sat out on the porch and we had people sign up for interviews and people were able to come and again tell us individually, you know, what their dreams and aspirations were for the Opera House, which allowed us to go to the city then and present a bold vision. And the bold vision, as Barbara sort of stated, was to really think about how people could move around this historic building in a different way and hopefully change their sociology and see the building anew.
And Mary Booker, what are your feelings about the renovation?
The one thing that I love most is that wall is gone. I attended some of the meetings regarding it, and to me, the wall up there said stay away rather than being inviting. And now the atmosphere around the Opera House is so much, it's very inviting. So that's one of my things that I am so glad to see that has happened, and it's beautiful.
Mary Booker is playwright and teacher. She's been performing and teaching at the Bayview Opera House since the 1950s. We're also talking with Barbara Ockel, executive director of the Bayview Opera House, and Walter Hood, professor of landscape architecture at UC Berkeley, who also was a lead architect for the Opera House renovation. He's creative director of Hood Design. You know, one of the things that did come up that I read as I was preparing for this segment, Walter Hood, was that there was some concern about the fence, that there's fencing outside of it, like a metal fencing out there. Some thought that it made the facility look unwelcome. Why was there the metal fence?
Well, we basically have to secure the building. And so the wall was there, but we still have to be able to secure the facility. And so we fabricated a new steel fence that goes around the entire perimeter. But there are more gates now, so when it's open, hopefully it'll feel more porous. But for a facility like this that has, you know, a lot of resources, you know, I mean, concern for, you know, safety for kids being inside as well. Third Street is a very busy street. There is a larger steel fence at the corner, and it has to sort of, we have to keep in mind, we created a new plaza on the corner there, which is a broad space that hopefully we will have public art and some other elements going into. And so, again, we tried to create a backdrop for the new things that are coming that will be part of the public realm on Third Street.
Well, let me invite our listeners to join the conversation. We're talking about the grand reopening this weekend of the Bayview Opera House. It's a 28-year-old landmark in the city's Bayview Hunters Point neighborhood that just finished a nearly 3-year and more than $5 million renovation. And what do you hope for this new Opera House? What do you hope it will do for the Bayview, for the city? Give us a call at 866-733-6786. Again, that's 866-733-6786. You can also email your questions or comments to forum@kqed.org. Post them on Facebook, Twitter, or on our website, kqed.org/forum. You know, Mary Booker, talking about hopes, what did it mean to you? What did it do for you to have a place in the Bayview Hunters Point community that you could go to learn that you actually were a performer and a playwright?
It gave me a place to express myself in my own culture, the African-American culture, in a way that beyond what I had even expected, and to find people in the community who was very appreciative of having in the community a place where they could go and see the performing arts and show that they appreciated.
Yeah, you know, it served how many people, Barbara Ockel, before it closed for renovations?
About 35,000 during the year.
And is it expected to grow now that the space has been?
We certainly hope so, because now basically we have two stages. We have the inside stage and we have the outside stage. And the outside environment, thanks to Walter's great improvements, is really conducive to having festivals, fairs, concerts, plays, all these things that we previously was not pleasant there, and people didn't like to hang out. So that it just didn't happen. And we actually did a lot of free outdoor events while we were closed over the years. We did it at different sites, and now we're going to bring all that activity that we generated there at, you know, all over the Bayview back to the Bayview Opera House.
I've seen estimates that you're hoping to like double the numbers of folks that you serve to like 70,000 annually.
Absolutely. And I think that's very possible. We already, since our ribbon cutting event in July, so many people are calling us. So many people, artists want to perform there. People want to have weddings there. It's all kinds of things. We're already, for the next 2 months, we're already pretty much solidly booked.
Wow. And there have been, you know, one of the questions that came up, Walter Hood, was why this renovation took as long as it did. Back in 2007, I think there was an event where Mayor Newsom announced, you know, that this renovation was going to take place. Walter Hood, when were you brought into this?
I can't even remember now, but we were brought in maybe 5 years ago. So we came in at the tail end of, you know, a lot of the planning. And I think one of the things were just making sure that the funding was in place. And unfortunately, we had to do the project in two phases based on the funding source. And so that created, you know, some more time. So a lot of the public work that was done outside of the gate was actually performed by the city. And that was the first phase, which took a year. And then we came on afterwards.
Did you feel at all through the process, Barbara Ockel, as some have suggested, that maybe this reflected what is a common complaint that you know, the Bayview Hunters Point community is sort of long neglected and allowed to languish while other projects get, you know, green-lighted and pushed hard?
Yeah, I'm not sure that was during this most recent project, I think everybody, including all the city people who were involved with it, worked extremely hard to make things go forward. And there were some objective problems, like such as like old pipes being discovered underground that nobody knew existed and knew what they were. So that every time something like that happens, everything grinds to a halt. You got to investigate and all these things. I think maybe going back a decade and a half, you could maybe say that nobody really cared about Bayview. But I think that's not the case today.
Yep. And I also think that, you know, during the renovation, as Barbara said, there were some unexpected things. And one of the biggest was, you know, the wall behind the stage, which we were not prepared for. So the wall was completely rebuilt because, again, a building this old, made of wood. And we found that we had to basically replace pretty much everything. And so that led to it. But as Barbara said, you know, once the project got going this last couple of years, the team from the city, the architects, everyone who worked on it, I've never worked on a project where people pretty much put their personal issues aside and really came to the table to try to make a great project.
We're talking about the Bayview Opera House and its grand reopening this weekend. If you have a question or comment, call us at 866-733-6786. Again, 866-733-6786. A listener tweets, "Right in my neighborhood on 3rd Street. Congratulations. It looks fantastic." Walter Hood, what reactions have you been getting? I know there was a ribbon cutting in July, right?
Oh, yes. There was a ribbon cutting with Representative Pelosi, the mayor, you know, former Mayor Brown, you know, all the people who had been involved in the Bayview over the years, families, which was really fantastic. And I love to see all the kids that were there because they represent the future. I mean, for us, again, we just want people to come back and see this place anew, and hopefully they can use every square inch of the place because it is a wonderful context. 3rd Street, the Bayview neighborhood, has an amazing history and a great group of people who live there. And I just can't wait to come to an event.
And speaking of kids, Barbara Ockel, what kind of programming are you planning for this sort of new era with the Bayview Opera House?
Well, actually, our kids program has been in existence for a long time and has been continued throughout the closure. What we do is we partner with local Bayview schools where the arts have pretty much been eliminated from the curriculum, unfortunately, and they do not have active PTAs of wealthy parents that, you know, create extra art classes and things like that. So basically, Bayview Elementary Schools rely upon the Bayview Opera House to bring arts education to the kids. And so we partner with the after-school programs and bring the kids to the Opera House for all kinds of classes in dance, theater, painting, sculpture, you name it. We even have some other things like gardening and cooking and yoga, which is also, you know, it's health oriented, and the kids really like that. And the schools really love collaborating with us. But we've been doing this whole time we were closed. We just sent our artists into the schools to teach the same classes. So, yeah, we're going to continue that for sure.
And we have a question from, I think we actually just lost the line. It was about kids and kids programming, but I think there was also a question from the caller who we just lost, who was asking about transportation to the site for folks who want to be able to get there but don't have the means.
Oh, transportation is super easy. It's a transit hub. The T3 goes there. The 23, the 24, the 44, and the 54 buses go there. So there should be no hindrance with transportation.
And the theater is named for Ruth Williams. Mary Booker, did you know Ruth Williams?
Yes, she was my dear friend. During the late 1950s and 60s, there were three performing arts groups that functioned out of the Opera House, which was one is Ruth Group, Baby Repertory Theater, and Julie Middleton's dance group, and my group, B&B Experimental Theater. And she was really a mentor for me. I've seen so much that she fought for in the community. At that time, I wasn't interested in attending nobody's meeting, just less go to the theater and do our thing. But Ruth was very much involved, and I've seen so much that she said about the Baby Opera House to come to pass, some good, some bad. But she had a vision for that opera house.
Was it in danger of being torn down, Barbara Ockel, the opera house?
I think at some point it might have been in danger of being torn down. And in fact, the Masonic Temple, which was adjacent to the Bayview Opera House, which was the original building of that the Masons built, and then they built the Opera House as an adjunct to it, as an entertainment hall. That Masonic Hall sadly has been torn down. And when it was, I'm not exactly sure how intent anybody was on tearing down the Bayview Opera House, but luckily some foresighted people made sure it was landmarked, and it's exactly landmark number 8, one of the earliest landmarks of the city. And because it had landmark status, and it couldn't really be torn down easily anymore.
And Mary Booker, I think I heard you in the background saying, what was Ruth Williams' role in trying to save it?
Well, she wanted the Masonic Lodge to also be saved. She definitely wanted the Opera House to be saved. She fought for that to be saved, too. But she was just as adamant about saving the Masonic Lodge because she felt that, like right now, people really don't know how many artists there are in the Bayview who would use the facility. And she was saying that if Julia was performing inside of the Opera House, where would she and I work? And which the Masonic Lodge provided that for us, because it had, if I can recall correctly, it had two stories. Well, it was the top part up, but always sort of two stories. And it had a number of rooms that we could utilize. So she saw the use for both buildings. Unfortunate, we lost the Masonic Lodge.
Well, you know, Walter Hood, it had a, you know, nearly $6 million budget, but I'm sure there was a lot that you wanted to do that you couldn't necessarily do within the constraints of the renovation. And I'm wondering, what are some things that, you know, you would like to see for the Opera House in terms of its continued development?
Well, I think, some of the things have been highlighted, like a new paint job, but, you know, just some of the basic kind of mundane things, because, again, a lot of the money went to some things that you just can't see, like a lot of the infrastructural changes.
Yeah.
I do think that the plaza out front that I spoke about earlier, I think it's a very important thing, as we just talked about the Masonic Lodge, but there was also a lot of community activism and things that happened during the 60s, and that's why we wanted to make a public space out front. So hopefully there is some commemoration about the building and the events of the the late 60s that happened in the neighborhood. And also, hopefully, there's more tree planting that we can do. During the construction, we actually lost some really old oak trees that we couldn't replace because of budgetary issues, and this was due to bad weather. And so there are a few things, but we're hoping that through the city tree planting program, through public art, and through other city programs and community programs that, you know, these things actually come once the museum, once the Bayview Opera House opens.
Well, a listener writes, I noticed the sign above the Opera House's entrance says South San Francisco Opera House, which seems unusual given South San Francisco is an entirely different but nearby city. Any story behind that designation? And when did it start to be referred to as the Bayview Opera House? Barbara?
So Bayview used to be called South San Francisco, and it was really kind of a separate part of the city back when, in the 1888s, when, you know, when the building was built. And the name was not changed until the city of South San Francisco incorporated itself with that name. And I don't remember the year, but it's not that long ago. And that's when it was became to be called the Bayview Opera House. And but for because it's a historic building, actually on the National Register of Historic Places, the engraving is part of the historic fabric and won't be changed to reflect the new name. And then in 1995, if I may continue, the building was named for Ruth Williams, the Ruth Williams Memorial Theater. So it is now the Bayview Opera House, Ruth Williams Memorial Theater, quite an unwieldy name. But we are very proud of the Ruth Williams part, especially because Ruth Williams was not only an actress and playwright and director at the Opera House, she also was a very important 60s activist, and she was, in fact, one of the big five activists, five women in Bayview who fought for rights of the Bayview community. And it is very fitting that the Bayview Opera House is named for one of those big five. And Ruth is the natural choice because she was such an artist and operated in the building.
Well, Barbara Ockel is executive director of the Bayview Opera House. We're also joined by Walter Hood, professor of landscape architecture at UC Berkeley, who's the creative director of Hood Design and was a lead architect for the Opera House renovation. We're also talking with Mary Booker, a playwright and teacher who's been performing and teaching at the Opera House since the 1950s. You're listening to Forum. This is a fundraising period for KQED Public Radio. For more information about how to support KQED, go to KQED. I'm Mina Kim. So the reopening is this weekend, Barbara Ockel. And Mary Booker, you are performing, am I correct, for the grand reopening? What are you doing?
Barbara asked me to do one of the poems I wrote called A Moment of Silence. So I'm going to listen to her. And my group is also on to perform. Also, we're going to be doing a peace call for my people.
Oh, wow. Well, that sounds like a treat. And I want to hear from Dan in San Francisco. Hi, Dan.
Hey, how you doing this morning?
Great.
I live in Little Hollywood, which is adjacent to Hunters Point and Visitation Valley. And I wanted to put something out there about the correct history of the name of the area. It was, until 1948, called Bayshore City. And we even found the logo of the old city. And the what sustained it was gambling. And where the Cow Palace is, they had dog races. And when gambling was outlawed in California in 1948, that's when the entire area was incorporated back into San Francisco, including Hunters Point and Visitation Valley. So that's my comment about that, to correct some history.
Great.
Very glad that the Bayview Opera House is reopening, and it's wonderful that it's been renovated. I look forward to attending performances there.
Well, Dan, thanks for weighing in. And could you say a little bit more about the performances that we'll see this weekend? We heard about Mary's, but others you have planned, Barbara Ockel.
Yes. So we have another really major performance by ACT. It's a play called Crack, Rumble, Fly that was based on stories that they collected from Bayview residents and then turned into a play, and is being performed by Bayview residents, and Miss Booker is actually part of that performing group. Then we have the Push Dance Company. Their performing a new adaptation of their piece, Point Shipyard Project, which deals with the community's reaction to the toxic waste that has accumulated in the shipyard, the fear it generates, mm-hmm. the cleanup operation, and all those things. And they're expressing this as a dance. And they're working with youth from the Third Street Youth Center and Clinic. And they wrote some poetry from their current perspective of how they experience the shipyard. And that is going to be performed between 2 and 4, 4 times in half-hour segments.
And you talk more, you talked about some of the needs that still remain for the Bayview Opera House. And, you know, Walter Hood was saying some of the more mundane things, but very important things like the exterior paint job or a upgraded kitchen or things like that. Are you launching another fundraising or campaign?
Yeah, we already have launched another fundraising campaign, and we're currently, you know, right in it. And we are collecting money for superb technical equipment. We want to have the state-of-the-art lighting, sound, and projection equipment so that artists really come in there and feel supported with all their technical needs, which was not at all the case before. It was all equipment dating back to the 70s, which was basically unusable. And so also we need, you know, we need mundane things. The kitchen is not so mundane because if we cannot upgrade our kitchen, we cannot have a permit by the health department to serve food in the building without special event permits every single time, which is really untenable. So that painting the building, the dressing rooms downstairs have not been upgraded yet. They need to be upgraded. So there's a lot of things like that.
How much are you hoping to raise? How much will you need to raise?
We are actually trying to raise another $1.5 million for everything. And that includes a major portion of additional money for programming so that we can continue our free or very low-cost programming into the future. We're really hoping to establish a regular donor base of people who are going to be supporting us year after year, not just once. We need kind of a jump start to get all these things taken care of, but we're really trying to make the connection, and we have a little group now. It's called Friends of the Bayview Opera House, where people who want to support us can join and support us into the future.
When I was on the website, I did see a campaign to raise funds for Carla Johnson. Do you mind just quickly telling us what her role was?
That was a really sad story. Carla was the head of the Department on Disability, and she believed very strongly not only in disability rights, but also in making everything beautiful. So I think the combination of her with Walter created this incredible outside design where what is actually a wheelchair ramp looks like a wonderful way, a pathway in a castle's garden. And so she combined these two elements to like maximal success. I've never seen anything like that, honestly. And it's very sad that she passed away before she could see the completion of her project due to a very sudden aggressive illness.
Well, Walter, did you just want to comment quickly? We have just a few seconds left about Carla.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, we think of disability and, you know, access in our environment, you know, as a kind of a functional thing, but in a way, it's a really poetic thing that everybody has the ability to move through the environment in the same way. And I think working with the city and Carla to really come up with a successful design project, one that just didn't look like an ADA ramp, but something that was integrated throughout the building and experience.
Well, and great things coming to the Bayview Opera House. Thank you, Barbara Ockel, Walter Hood, and Mary Booker. I'm Mina Kim.
Funds for the production of Forum are provided by the members of KQED Public Radio, the Germanicos Foundation, and the Generosity Foundation, and the Bernard Osher Foundation, supporting higher education and the arts.